Our scripture reading this morning was about a man named Abram, a man whose God was going to change his name to Abraham. He's a central character in the Bible. He's mentioned 177 times in the book of Genesis, another 46 times in the rest of the Old Testament, and 68 times throughout the New Testament. He is held up as an example of what we ought to be in our faith. He was a man of faith. He was a man that trusted God. He had enough faith to leave home when God told him to leave home and go to a place. He says, I'll tell you, you're there when you get there. Had enough faith to believe that he could have a son when he was 9,900 years old. Had enough faith to take that son and take him up on a mountain and offer him to God as a sacrifice, saying that God, even though he was a child of promise, even though he was a child that God promised Abraham, he would bless the whole earth through, that if he killed him, God had the power to raise him up again. And many times we read in the book of Genesis about God speaking to Abraham. The Bible says, and the Lord spoke to Abraham, or in a vision came to Abraham, or the words of the Lord came to Abraham. But there's only three times in the Bible where the Bible says that God appeared unto Abraham. Of course, you know, when a preacher sees anything that happens three times, they get a sermon, because sermon has three points. And if God put something in the Bible three times, it must mean that he wants a sermon preached about those three times. And so that's what I intend to do this morning. I want to look at the three times where the Bible says that the Lord appeared unto Abraham. You know, Moses wanted to see God, and God said, you can't see me, because if you see me, you'll die. And one time, God took Moses, put him in a cleft of the rock, put his hand over him, and made his backside appear. And Moses saw his glory. And the Bible says when he came down from that experience, his face glowed so much they had to put a veil over his face before he talked to the people. Well, three times, Abraham got to see God. Three times, the Lord appeared unto Abraham. And I think in every one of those times, God was trying to tell Abraham and all of us something special about himself. And so we're going to look at those three times this morning. The first one we read about in Genesis chapter 12 in verse 7, where it says, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. The Lord said, Abraham, this land that you're in, I'm going to give it to your seed. I'm going to give it to your descendants. Now, the Canaanites were there. That land was occupied by other nations. But God said, Abraham, you see this land? It's going to be yours. It's going to be your descendants. I'm going to give it to you. And I think what God was trying to tell Abraham when he appeared to him at that particular time, and again, he was 75 years old. He hadn't had Isaac yet. That was all going to be in the future. But what God was trying to tell him is that, Abraham, you serve an omnipotent God. Abraham, you serve an all-powerful God. It doesn't matter that the Canaanites live here. It doesn't matter that their cities are walled. It doesn't matter that some of their people are giants and tower over you in stature. It doesn't matter that they have a well-trained army and none of your seed, when they come out of Egypt, is going to know how to fight. It doesn't matter that they have a well-equipped army and your soldiers, your seed, won't have any swords, won't have any spears. It won't matter. It won't matter that they outnumber you. It won't matter that it'll be odds 10 to 1 or 20 to 1 or even 30 to 1. It doesn't matter, because I am an omnipotent God. When the time comes, I have the power to give this land unto you and to your descendants. You know what? We have the same God today. We have an omnipotent, all-powerful God. We live in a discouraging day. We live in a time when even some Christians are giving up. We live in a time when our president caters to gays and abortionists. We live in a time when crime runs rampant. We live in a time when our economy is shaky. I know it's getting better, according to all the economists. But I want to tell you, I still think we live in a shaking time, a time that if we're not careful, we'll get discouraged, a time if we're not careful, we'll want to quit. I want to remind you this morning, it doesn't matter what's going on in the world. It doesn't matter what's going on in our country. It doesn't matter what circumstances may appear to be this morning. We have an omnipotent, all-powerful God. And He can do anything He chooses to do. And so I'll remind you this morning that that's who you serve. I'll remind you this morning that's the kind of God that you have. We have a God whose coal bin has not gone empty. We have a God whose gas tank is full. We have a God that has unlimited power today, just like He did in Abraham's day. David talked about that God in Psalms chapter 115. He was comparing his God to all the other gods that people worshiped in his day. I mentioned this verse in Sunday school. It says in Psalm 115, verses 4 through 7, their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. And those verses did a good job of describing the gods that existed in David's day. They do a good job in describing some of the gods that people worship today. Gods that can't do anything for the people that worship them. God that have no power at all. But then David goes on to write, "But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased." And again, we need to be reminded of God as God's people this morning that our God is omnipotent. Our God is all powerful. Our God can accomplish and do anything that He desires. When the people in Samuel's day said to Samuel, "Hey, we want a king like everybody else." All the other nations around the nation of Israel had kings, but the nation of Israel were still ruled by judges and prophets. And the people came to Samuel, and they said, "Samuel, we want a king." And Samuel said, went to God. And God said, "Okay, Samuel, tell them that they can have a king, but tell them what the king is going to be able to do." And again, God was painting a picture of Himself when He painted the picture of this king. "Tell them that their king is going to have all power. Tell them their king can take their property if he so desires. Tell them their king can take their sons and their daughters if he so desires. Tell them their king can take anything that he wants." And God was trying to tell His people, that's the kind of God that you serve. This is what God was saying, "I'm a king. I'm all powerful. I have every right to take anything that I want to take, and I have the power to do anything that I want to do." And when God appeared to Abraham, He said, "You see this land? It's yours. It's going to be your descendants. Doesn't matter who lives here. Doesn't matter what the odds are going to be against you when you go to take it. I am an omnipotent God. I will give it to you." The second time that that God appeared to Abraham is recorded in Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. Where the Bible says, "And when Abram was 90 years old and nine," when he was 99 years old, "the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God." Reminding him of what He taught him the last time that Abraham saw. "Walk before me and be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and thee." God says, "I'm the Almighty God, and I'm going to make a covenant with you, Abraham," or Abram as he was still called at this time. I'm going to make an agreement. I'm going to be your God, and you're going to be my people, and I am going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of you. I'll provide everything you need. That's part of the covenant that God made with his people. He said, you make me your God, you'll be my people, and everything that you need as a people, I will provide. And what God was trying to teach Abraham and what he's trying to teach us is that not only is he an all-powerful God, he is an all-sufficient God. With that almighty power that he has, he can give us everything that we need. You know, sometimes we as Christians, we might remember that we serve an all-powerful God, but we forget sometimes that he's all-sufficient, that he can give us everything that we need. Many people, Christians even, think, well, I don't need God to take care of me because I work and I can take care of myself. And by the way, I think you ought to work. If you can work, you ought to work. The Bible says if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. And I'm not saying that. That's what God's Word says. And I think you ought to work. And I'm glad that God has blessed many folks in our congregation with good jobs and that they work and that they work hard. But I want to tell you something. Your livelihood, the food that you eat, the clothes that you wear, the place that you live, the car that you drive, all the other necessities that you have in your life that you think that are provided by you working in a true sense does not come from the company that you work for, does not come from your efforts. They come from God. They come from God. Who do you think gave you the strength to work? Who do you think let you be born in this country that you can have the job that you have? You could have very easily been born in another place of the world where jobs were not available, where the pay scale is not available, where you would not enjoy the life that you enjoy today. You enjoy the life that you enjoy today because you have a God in heaven that is all-powerful and all-sufficient. Sufficient. You see, when I worked, you know, it's nice to be able to say you're retired. Not retarded, retired. Some of you ought to say amen, because you're retired too. It's nice to be able to say you're retired. Thank you, Kathy, for that one amen. But when I worked, it wasn't General Motors that provided my food. It wasn't General Motors that provided my clothes. It wasn't General Motors that provided all that stuff. It was my God. You know, they went bankrupt. Who would have thunk it? They went bankrupt. And yet, God's still feeding me. God's still clothing me. He's still giving me a place to live and gas to put in my car. You say, well, yeah, preacher, but the government helped him. Well, the government's going bankrupt. Who are you going to depend on when they don't have no more money? Huh? I'm not going to depend on some man-made institution to meet my needs. I'm going to realize that right now I am provided for by an almighty God who says, I'll meet your every need. I'll meet your every need. Jesus said it in the book of Matthew. He said, look at the birds. They don't sow, but they reap. Look at the lilies. They don't toil, but they're arrayed more than in clothes that are prettier than Solomon wore. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall ye eat, or what shall ye drink, or wherewith shall ye be clothed? For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do you know that as a child of God, that your father and my father is obligated to take care of us? Do you ever stop and think about that? He's obligated because of the promises that he made in that book. He's obligated. He says, he said, don't worry about those things. I know that you need them, and I'll take care of them. You just seek my kingdom first, and I'll provide everything that you need. The Apostle Paul wrote about it in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 19, when he says, but my God, my all-powerful, my omnipotent, almighty God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He appeared to Abraham the first time and said, I want you to know you serve an omnipotent, all-powerful God. He appeared to Abraham the second time and said, I want you to know not only am I almighty and omnipotent, but I am all-sufficient. I will meet your every need. The third time he appeared to Abraham was in Genesis chapter 18. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. We won't turn to it and read it for sake of time. But when the Lord appeared to Abraham that time, he sat down and ate with Abraham. They had a meal together. When God was there, appeared to Abraham that time, he promised Isaac would be born. Sarah was in the tent listening to the conversation. And God told Abraham, about this time next year, you and Sarah are going to have a little baby boy. Sarah's in the tent. I'm 99, you know, I'm 90 years old. My husband's 100 years old. We're going to have a little baby. God said, why'd Sarah laugh? Is anything too hard for the Lord? That's my sermon tonight. Is anything too hard for the Lord? It was at that meeting that God told Abraham what he was about to do to Sodom. He said, I've heard about the wickedness of Sodom. I'm going down to see if it's true. If it's true, I'm going to destroy it. It was at that meeting that Abraham prayed to God about Lot. He said, if you find righteous people in Sodom, will you destroy the city? What about the righteous people there? You're a God that does right. You won't destroy righteous people with the wicked people, will you? And through a series of prayers, Abraham got God down to where God said, hey, if I find 10 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I'll spare the whole city. 10 people, I'll spare it. And even when God couldn't find the 10 righteous people, he spared Lot, Abraham's nephew, because of the prayers that Abraham offered up. And I think what God was trying to teach Abraham at this appearance was, not only am I almighty, not only am I all-sufficient, but I want to be your friend. I want to be your friend. I mean, he came and ate with him. He talked to him about his family. He shared some secrets with him, some things he was about to do. He listened to the concerns that Abraham had for his nephew. I mean, I don't know about you, but it sounds like a friend to me. Somebody that you would eat with. Somebody you would talk to. Somebody you would share your heart with. Somebody you would share your concerns about your family with. And I believe what God was saying at this appearance is, not only am I all-powerful, not only am I all-sufficient, but I want to be your friend. And the Bible calls Abraham the friend of God. And I want to tell you this morning, I'm like David. David wrote in Psalm 8, verse 4, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visited him? I cannot understand. I've been at this a long, long time. I cannot understand why an all-powerful, all-sufficient God would want to be my friend. I cannot understand that. I am overwhelmed every time I think about that. I can't explain it. I mean, I've tried to explain it for a long time from behind this pulpit. Why would God want to be my friend? Why would he want to be your friend? I'm a sinful man. I'm made of the dust of the earth. There's nothing redeeming in myself that would make me worthy to be God's friend. But because he loved me, because he loved you, he says, I'm an omnipotent God, and I will use my power to meet your every need. But more than that, I want to be your friend. I want to be your friend. And he says that to every single person here this morning. Again, I can't explain it, but I can preach it. He loves us. I don't know why, but He loves us. And He extends His grace and mercy to each of us and says, I want to be your friend. Let me ask you today. He's an omnipotent, all-sufficient God. But let me ask you, is He your friend? He wants to be. The Bible says that greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend. And that's exactly what Jesus did for us. We were a sinner, separated from that omnipotent, all-sufficient God by our sin. And God sent His Son to take all of our sins upon Himself, to die on Calvary's cross, to pay for each one of our sins. He says, I want to be your friend. I'll make the way so that we can be friends. We can't be friends because of your sin, but if you let me take care of your sin, we can be friends. And that's what Jesus did on Calvary. And He offers to each person that gift of eternal life, that gift of salvation, that gift of your forgiveness for your sins. And I know you may be here, maybe some here this morning say, well, preacher, you don't even know me. You don't know if I'm a sinner or not. I know what the Bible says. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. We're all sinners. You give me enough time to get to know you, I'll point out a sin to you. Just like you can get to know me and point out a sin in my life. And that sin separates us from God. But God says, I'll take care of it if you let me. Jesus paid for all of them. If you'll let Him, He'll pay for your sins. And we can be friends. I don't know about you, but the best day in my life was when I made Jesus my friend. When I knelt down on a tile floor, but on a vinyl couch in my pastor's study, and I asked Jesus to save me. If you've never done that, you need to do it this morning. He's an all-powerful God. He's an all-sufficient God. But He's a God that wants to be your friend and will be if you let Him. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for appearing unto Abraham, for teaching him and us about Your power, about Your sufficiency, and Father, about Your friendship. And I pray this morning for those that might be here that have never asked Jesus to be their Savior. Father, help them see their sin. Help them see that sin separating them from You. Help them see the price that was paid, the price we pictured in the Lord's Supper this morning, the price that was paid for our salvation. And help them to come in just a few moments. We'll take the Bible from the Bible, show them how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Doesn't matter if this is their first time here or if this is their 100th time here. It doesn't matter. Holy Spirit, speak to their hearts. Draw them to the Savior. For it's in His name we pray.